This is the voice of Sacramento. Real radio produced by real people.
The Ruben News.
Too much thinking of you. Gone forever, all ties ever. A kiss I'll never have a clue. I keep trying to stop, but my life is stalled. In my head against the
.7, the voice with the Ruben News and Amnesia off of Paleophonic. And right now, live in Sacramento, here in the Twirl Studios, I have an actual living, breathing Ruben News. I've got Tommy Dunbar. Tommy, how are you?
Hello, doing good.
It is so nice to have you here. Thanks for coming down.
Hey, thank you.
And you sent me all this great music, and you literally did send me a box set called Everything You Always Wanted to Know About the Ruben News, But Were Afraid to Ask. I used to be afraid to ask, no longer.
I'm glad that you've, you know, dealt with that.
But it points to the long, illustrious career that you guys have had. I mean, there's got to be upwards of 60 songs on there. I could literally play a song from that set every week, and we wouldn't be done this time next year.
So that's quantity for you.
Well, quality too. There's some serious hardcore quality.
Hardcore quality.
Yes. So I'm going to ask the basics. I mean, a lot of my DJ friends have been playing you guys for years, and I'm a little late to the bandwagon. So where and when did the Ruben News get started?
Oh, man. 1970, Bay High School in Berkeley.
Wow.
And John and I forget why, but they were going to have a hop.
Okay.
The Beihai hop. I think it was, right? There was a Beihai prom and there was a Beihai hop. And I think it was the hop. Yeah, it was like, we need a band. John, you don't play anything, so you have to be the lead singer. Also, he had a top hat, which was helpful.
That's good for showmanship, too.
Yeah, yeah. So that was sort of the start of it. So we just played oldies for the first few months and then met up with Don. And so we've been, John, Don, and I have been, Don's the drummer.
Okay.
We've been playing together for, since 1970.
Wow.
And then Al Chan joined the band in 1980.
So he's the new kid on the block. He's the rookie.
Oh, yeah. He's the youngster.
What were the hazing rituals like?
Oh, man. It's still going on for all of us. But no, he actually, it was, seriously, it was that you had to be able to sing a high A in full voice and play sort of complicated bass parts at the same time. That, you know, he was one of the only guys who really came in and nailed it. And besides that, he's just one of the greatest guys I've ever met. So, you know,
that helps.
And he knew all the Cream song and Badfinger and all this kind of weird stuff that he was just playing. Okay, what do you want to play? You know, okay, let's play, you know, Badge by Cream or whatever.
Oh, man. See, that sounds like fun. Now, in a Rubinus show, do you guys play covers like that?
Some, okay. You know, not mostly, but yeah, why not?
Yeah. You have a great catalog to pull from. So, I mean, again, you could go for the quantity and never touch a cover.
I guess, but, you know. No, we like doing covers. Oh, we did a whole album of covers, too.
Oh, which one was that?
It's called Crimes Against Music.
Who did you cover? What kind of bands did you cover?
Oh, man, Eurythmics, Elvis Costello, Del Shannon,
nice.
The Sweet, who else? Todd Rundgren. What we did is we all wrote down what songs we thought might be a good idea, and then matched up. Okay, anything that got two people saying we should do this song,
okay,
gets, you know, in the thing. If it had three, if all three of us had, because at the time Don was up here, he wasn't playing with us, but that's how we picked all the songs. And so anything that got three votes was in. Anything that got two votes was probably in. And, you know,
one vote you really had to
you had to lobby like hell. I mean, you know,
that's fun. Now, you are, from what I understand, you are the principal songwriter for the Rubinus.
Mm-hmm.
So did it start out that way? I mean, does anybody else write songs, or did it just kind of fall on your shoulders? How did you get that lofty position or responsibility?
I guess it just kind of, I mean, everything in the band just kind of fell to who does what,
okay.
I think, you know, just sort of, it's a natural thing.
Yes.
But because I had been sort of writing before then. My brother was in a band called Earthquake in formerly Purple Earthquake in Berkeley.
That's a great name.
And Robbie wrote a lot. And so, you know, I sort of grew up watching him write. And I don't know.
Very cool.
Seemed like the thing to do.
Yeah. And what a great catalog. What inspires your songwriting?
Oh, man. I don't usually just anything that seems interesting.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I think writing is mostly improvisation, really.
Mm.
And it's kind of, you know, it's so as you're improvising, you go, oh, kind of like that. Okay, I'll catalog that in my mind. And, you know, then some songs just start out with a title. Like, you go, oh, that could be a good title. So it's any starting point, really.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I mean, we say something starts with a title. The thing I instantly thought of, because this had to start with a title, REM and What's the Frequency, Kenneth? Do you remember that?
Mm.
Oh, I mean, there's a title from real life.
That it wasn't the melody first.
No, it was that one was Dan Rather had a weird stalker that was following him down the street saying, "What's the frequency, Kenneth?" And so REM just picked that up and made a song out of it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's a good way to go.
Yeah. And I'm not a songwriter. So as a layman, a musical layperson, I just thought that's brilliant. If you follow the news, that's kind of cracks me up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's some people who can really do that. I mean, just pull anything from life, I think, like, Jonathan Richman is really good at that. I kind of feel like he can turn anything into a song.
Wow. You know,
and it's a rare ability.
Wow. That's neat. And then the genre that you guys trade in, is it fair to say that you're mostly power pop? What would you guys call yourselves?
I just think of it as pop, really, because the stuff that we love mainly is not always the power end of pop, I don't think. Although, you know, I mean, I guess like Badfinger and the Raspberries and people like that love a lot of their singles, you know, but I think in some ways we kind of go back farther.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, things like Petula Clark and Jimi Hendrix all kind of fit into the same basket for us.
Nice.
And, you know, or Dale Shannon or, you know, even, as far back as, you know, Jerry Lee Lewis or whatever, some of the stuff. And I kind of find the older I'm getting, the further back I'm going. Hmm. Like, or is it the farther back?
I'm not
sure. My wife's an English teacher, and there's a few words like that. That's like, am I using this correctly?
I know. I never know the difference either, but somebody is always there to correct me.
Yeah. What is it she said? Let's. If it has to do with distance, it's farther.
Ah.
Further is like furthering your aim.
Okay.
Of something. So there we go.
Now that's the definitive answer.
Glad we cleared that up.
Yeah. So you're reaching back into music somehow.
Uh-huh. What? Oh, we're going back there?
No, you were.
Oh.
Let's see. We did an English lesson, and then before that, oh, yeah, the farther back you go.
Oh, yeah, starting to get into more stuff even like from the 40s, you know, like Duke Ellington and stuff.
Oh, nice.
Sometimes seems more interesting to me even than, I don't know, more recent.
Well, there's so much to pull from. And
there is. And, you know, a lot of the stuff I hear you playing, I've never heard any of that. And most of that I'm loving. So,
oh, thank you.
You know, it's just, it depends, I guess, what's in the record collection and you pulled out that day, you know. But
yeah. And I love when I listen to some of my other friends' radio shows because they'll play music that I love and I've never heard of it either. And I found a lot of bands by just poaching off of other people's playlists. That's how I program this show sometimes.
That's a good kind of poaching.
Yeah.
What is it? Real radio made by real people?
Yes, we can't find the robotic DJs just yet, and that's probably okay.
I think that's okay.
Yeah. So this is the question, Thorin over here at the desk, and I always...
Thorin!
We always have this question. This is our question together for you. I always ask this of people that are, you know, well-known or really talented that live in Sacramento. What are you doing here? What brought you to Sacramento?
Well, thanks, first of all. We just came up here and looked at it and went, this is totally great, and we could live here, you know.
Yeah.
We came from Berkeley, my wife and I, and it was also really expensive there. And, you know, but we came up here, and I was expecting that it was going to be just like concrete jungle or, you know. I mean, I think I had been up here and went to a part where it was just really hot, first of all. And of course, it is really hot here and really cold in the winter, which I've learned to embrace.
Good,
I actually kind of like the seasons. But the part of Midtown where we live kind of reminds me of Berkeley because it's really diverse.
Yeah.
I mean, in all ways, not just, you know, racially or religiously or whatever. It's just there is every kind of person living on the street. And I don't know. We just felt really at home here.
And Midtown is for those who are outside the area, it's just our funky, trendy, artsy, but not too trendy. But if there's a trendy part of town, that's it. But it's also just old and funky. And I remember seeing bumper stickers, and I don't even know what it means, but I like the sentiment. Keep Midtown janky. Did you see those some years ago?
I so support that.
Yeah.
Even though I don't know what janky means either. But
but it's something, you know, we should aspire to.
We thought it was going to be like Leave It to Beaver land here or something, you know? And we came up and it was not. So, I don't know. We just love it.
That's good. I mean, there are some parts of town and some suburbs that are Leave It to Beaver land, but, you know.
Hey, this should be that for people who want to do that. That's fine.
Exactly.
We just didn't want to be there.
Yeah. No, it's nice. And then, I mean, that part of town, literally, you can walk to live music pretty much. You can go see live music many nights of the week and,
Yeah.
And food, you know, lots of food choices.
Lots of food choices.
Yeah.
Finding food is not the problem.
Yeah. What's the problem? Maybe for me to be staying away from all this food I'm finding.
Yeah, like the, you know, gelato place that's divine, you know, down on, was it on 19th?
Wow.
It's dangerous.
It sounds like the right kind of dangerous.
Yeah. You know.
So it's interesting, you know, you've been here. Actually, when did you get here? I think it's the same
2000.
Place. Okay, so similar time frame as me. I was here a few years before that.
You came from Chicago, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not from, yeah, from Chicago by way of Los Angeles. Born and raised in L.A., spent 10 years in Chicago, came here, which means I'm just horrible at directions. It took me a lot of years and miles out of my way to move from L.A. to here.
So how much do you love GPS?
Oh, man. Live by the thing.
I can't even tell you.
Well, you know what's interesting about GPS is people don't really have to give directions anymore. I didn't give you directions to the station. I gave you the address and you found it.
Yeah. Although, actually, I took a cab, though.
Did you?
I did, because we're my wife and I are trying to be down to one car now.
Nice.
And I thought about riding the bike over here, but I wasn't sure, you know, and it's pretty hot out today.
Yeah. I can give you a ride home if you want to stick out, hang out a little bit afterwards.
That would be great.
You're actually not very far
actually,
from here.
No, though, but I was thinking of, I talked to Thorne, I was thinking about crashing here for...
Okay.
No more than 2 weeks tops, I promise. Right, Thorne? I'm crashing here for the next couple of weeks. That's okay. Okay. Thank
awesome.
You.
We have great AC. There is a snack machine down the hall.
Snack machine is how's the coffee?
I don't know. I think that's for staff only.
What?
I'm not staff.
I'll take a job. What do you got? You need a second engineer? What? There's a Starbucks.
Down the street.
That's true. Okay. You can walk to the Starbucks at 39th, so you're good.
Okay.
But you can crash here. Yeah, we've got lots of TV and radio, so you've got plenty of entertainment.
There are a lot of toys around here. This is, you know. Yeah. Look at all this.
I mean, I just had a thought here. You could crash here for 2 weeks, and the Ruben News next album might emerge. Just tell Al and John to come up here and...
Just wait. Phone in their parts?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, we're talking about this. You know, Al couldn't make it today, but you were thinking of maybe just running from microphone to microphone, impersonating Al and then doing your part. So.
Yeah, yeah.
The good part is you see how small the studio is. It wouldn't be that far to run.
That's true.
So you're good.
But I would bring the albuterol anyway, just in case.
Just in case, yeah. You never know. So you like it in Sacramento. I'm thrilled. It's a neat place.
Yeah. I mean, don't you...
Love it, yeah.
Feel like home?
Totally. It's like... It reminds me of a combination of the Midwest and California. It's like we're... It's like the Central Valley of California is sort of like California's answer to the Midwest, I guess, in some ways. And yet you're close enough to the Bay Area where you have your big city fix and all that.
And
that
you can go to Old Sac and have the actual West.
Yes. You must have thought that was pretty wild when you first saw that. I mean, that's the Wild West just a few miles.
It's Knott's Berry Farm, really, is what it is.
Totally.
Yeah.
Except Old Sacramento is our 1840s part of town. It's where
I mean, that's real, right? Like the...
Like the people that program the radio station. That's real.
Yeah, it's real. But it was made by real people, I understand.
It was. They have wooden plank streets and cobblestones and paddle wheelers and horse-drawn carriages. I had a friend who came and visited from San Francisco. She took the mega bus down here. And
What's that?
It is a cleaner, cheaper alternative to Greyhound. She rode for like $3 to get here.
Whoa.
Yeah. Now they don't have stuff.
Do you have to pedal or, I mean, how does that work?
Well, the catch is they don't have an actual bus station, so they kind of drop you off like in front of the railroad museum. But she stepped off of the mega bus and she looked around. She saw a paddle wheel boat behind her. She saw cobblestone streets and horses. And she thought, I just got off the bus and landed in 1850.
It's a time machine.
It is. That's the catch.
Yeah. Well, good.
So I'm here with Tommy Dunbar of the Ruben News. Can we play another track off of the Paleophonic album?
Anything you like.
All right. Wow. What do I like? Well, I like everything. How about number five? How about Can I?
Sure.
All right. Can I? Let's go.
Ready and I'm willing. All I need is one.
88.7. The Voice and some more Ruben News music. Can I, off of the Paleophonic album again? When did that come out? This one's been around for a while.
Oh, yeah. Boy, I don't know. I think it says the year on there.
Oh, let's see.
Don't even ask me what decade.
Oh, this released 2000. I think it's been longer than maybe late 80s. This didn't sound like most music, though, at the time, right? I mean, you guys were kind of against the grain. It says this released 2000?
Oh, that's because this is Veres Sarabande label.
Okay.
I think it was like 97 or something.
Okay.
Can that be right? I could be completely wrong. Yeah.
So what's interesting is that in that era, I mean, people were not listening to music like this. I mean, it was like loud, grungy.
People
angry.
Certainly weren't listening to that right there. I know that.
But they should be. I mean, I have a friend, Adam Waltzemeyer, Pop Garden Radio, says,
oh,
this,
yeah, yeah.
This album is a masterpiece. He told me that before I even heard it. So.
Well, that's nice.
It's a great album. Did you guys find audiences in those days? I mean, was it hard to get gigs, or how did it work?
We were hardly playing live. I mean, it's funny. All of a sudden, we actually have some gigs.
Yeah.
But we haven't been playing much in the United States. It's like it's hard because John lives in L.A.
Okay.
And Al and Don are more like around the Bay Area, and then I'm up here in Sacramento. So unless we have, you know, at least like 5 or 6 or 7 gigs to do, it sort of doesn't, you know, getting together to rehearse is kind of a pain in the butt.
Oh.
In terms of, you know. But if you've got a tour coming up, then it's completely like, okay, let's go.
Yeah, because you can cluster everything together. And
yeah.
Then it makes sense. Yeah. You have a gig coming up. Let's touch upon it. You've got one on June 14th. Let's get the details on that.
Great American Music Hall. And the Bye Bye Blackbirds are going to be opening.
Nice.
So we're looking forward to that. God, I think it's the first time we've played Great American since our 40th year anniversary.
Wow.
I think. It's so, yeah, it's not very often we actually play in the States.
And that's a pretty big place to hear music, isn't it? Isn't that a pretty big arena, pretty big hall?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's decent size. Certainly, we wouldn't want any bigger for us because it's not like we have some, you know, huge draw. But
it's like, isn't it about 1,500 seats? It's something decent, isn't it?
I don't know if it's that
not that big.
No, but it's big enough.
Yeah,
big enough to have some fun.
That's the thing. Yeah,
come on down.
And that's Saturday, June 14th, my brother's birthday. So, you know, that'd be
right.
Heck of a way for him to celebrate. What can the audience there expect? What's a 2014 era Ruben News show?
Just the usual. I don't know. Explosions, clowns, dancing bears, probably.
Sounds like a hyped up Grateful Dead show when you mentioned dancing bears.
It's very similar, yeah, depending on what you're on.
Right.
Probably a lot of pop music I'm expecting.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and is that sold out already, or are tickets still available?
I don't think so, but I don't know.
Well, we will do our
best. I heard dinner was sold out, whatever that means.
Dinner was sold out. Okay.
Yeah.
People got to eat.
So bring your own, I guess. Or, I don't know.
Is there food there? I mean, that
I they actually serve dinner there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh no. So it's like the dinner circuit? Is that what that is? Dinner supper
it's
club?
It's a supper club. Yes, it is. Please dress appropriately.
That sounds very, very, very elegant. Sounds like fun. So John's coming up from L.A. You're going to migrate to the Bay Area. Do you guys have some more rehearsals before?
Yeah. The week before.
Okay.
We get together a few times. And, you know, that's just always fun. I mean, it's, what can I say? The other three guys are three of my favorite people in the world. And it's, you know, rehearsing is almost as much fun as the show.
That is so neat. Yeah, I mean, you guys seem like just friends first, and that's huge. You don't find that in a lot of bands.
Yeah, well, I mean, literally, it's like John and I were best friends before we started the band. So, you know, and he was best man at my wedding, and and the other two guys I love like brothers. And what can I say?
That's cool. That's going to be a great vibe at that show. If I can somehow make it down there, I will. I will just come back from a trip, so we'll see if I got any energy left, because you guys are high energy. I know this.
Well. We'll just try to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm here with Tommy Dunbar of the Ruben News. We have another minute before we have to take a quick break. Come back in the second hour, and we'll chat more about music and gigs and tours. You have a long, illustrious history of touring in other countries with some pretty well-known bands, so it'd be kind of fun to talk about that.
Okay.
You've met people such as Elvis Costello, and we could maybe chat about that because he's pretty illustrious. And maybe kind of polar opposite from you guys?
Illustrious, definitely. I don't know about polar opposite, but he's... I mean, we didn't really get to know them very well when we toured with them. It was... they had been on tour for years,
yeah,
really without a break. And, you know, I think that may have been part of their... I don't know.
So it might wear on you. So we'll chat about that and all sorts of good stuff in the second hour here. Sure. This is Twirl Radio. I'm here with Tommy Dunbar. I'm Mike Litskin. We're coming to you live from Sacramento. We've got a whole lot more Ruben News music and then some more of that great indie music we've come to know and love after that. Stay with us, won't you?
Freeform Radio, the voice of Sacramento.
Seven, the voice and more Ruben News. I want to be your boyfriend. I've got Tommy Dunbar right here. Tommy, did you survive the first half hour?
Very easily.
Awesome. Awesome.
Ready for another one more, please, sir. One. May I have another?
That's sort of like the Twirl Radio hazing ritual. You have to do another segment, so let's do
okay.
it.
Okay.
Okay, so Sparky, my friend from Scrub Radio in North Carolina, who I listen to on Sunday mornings, wanted to know if you've ever had a chance to work with Kevin Gilbert.
Well, that's funny he asked, because, yeah, Paleophonic, that album was produced by Kevin.
Wow. Okay, we're going to call that yes then.
that's a yes. Yeah.
That is a yes. So, Sparky, there's the answer, and it says somewhere right here, produced by Kevin Gilbert. Yes, indeed. Awesome. Ding, yeah. Ding, 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 yeah. Ding. Awesome.
And Kevin was amazing, and he plays keyboards all over that. And
yeah, and Sparky was saying, I need to play some of his Toy Matinee music on the show, so duly noted.
Not to mention his solo stuff and the Thud album, and oh man, Kevin's stuff is great.
Duly noted. Okay, so I've got to put that on my to-do list. Speaking of notable producers, you've worked with Todd Rundgren. What was that all about? That's kind of a name.
Well, we had just, John and I were moving to LA.
Okay.
Right. And the other guys didn't want to go. And so we're moving down there and we got a deal with Warner Brothers. And so we started having kind of the, you know, lunch with a producer, another producer every day kind of thing, which was great because we got to play pinball with the guys from the Turtles, Flo and Eddie.
Wow.
And, you know, just sort of meet a bunch of people who were very fun to hang out with and stuff. But our manager knew Todd and said, well, what about Todd Rundgren? Because the thing is, you guys need drums, bass, and keyboards. And Todd's got that with the other guys in Utopia.
Okay.
So we could just fly out to New York and make this record. And so we went out and did that. And, you know, it was sort of a different experience. But it, to be honest, the record wound up feeling like sort of like we didn't have that much to do with it.
Oh.
It felt like sort of just a participant kind of, I mean, I don't know. But, you know, it was, hey, can't complain.
Got to work with Todd, of course. But
yeah, and the other three guys were great.
It's Utopia, Ruben News. But, yeah, I get it. You're kind of hands-on. I mean, you're used to making your own music.
Yeah, and it felt more like a Todd album or something. And I've heard a lot of other people that have worked with him say that. But, hey, no flies on him. I mean, he's made a lot of great records.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was that one.
Absolutely. And then we mentioned last hour you've toured with Elvis Costello and the Attractions. Mm-hmm. That had to be a pretty wild time because wasn't that late 70s when they were just really becoming prominent?
Yeah, it was the Armed Forces tour.
Oh, what an album.
Yeah, and we loved that album. So, I mean, you know, for just kids in the candy store getting to watch them play every night. And
wow.
You know, so it was 56 cities, you know, just following them around the country. But they'd been out there forever, and, you know, I don't know how they did that. I mean, for me, 3 weeks is a long time now to be away from home, and, you know, I don't know how you go out for, like, 3 years and don't, you know, almost don't go home.
I can't even imagine. And, you know, you're living in what I consider a really normal place. So, I mean, that's such the antithesis of living in a normal place is going out and living the rock star lifestyle, you know, the shows every night, and then you come back to Sacramento, which is just so dang normal.
Yeah, well, that's why, you know, I'm just happy to be here.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And you were saying before that most of your gigs are out of the country, other places. You don't.
Yeah, over the last bunch of years. I mean, we're going back probably for our 7th tour of Spain in October. And it looks like probably Italy also, which, okay.
Yeah.
No complaints there.
So Spain loves the Ruben News and the Ruben News love Spain.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know.
Our mutual friend
Antoinette. I know Antoinette. We love Spain anyway.
Yeah. Our mutual friend Antoinette is there. That's her
little
tour.
She's in Madrid now, right? And I heard you interviewing her a couple of weeks ago.
That's pretty cool. So do you find the audiences
Hey, this is the internet, isn't it? Antoinette, if you can hear us.
Yeah.
Say hello to Madrid. Hello, Madrid.
Hola, hola.
You can use that in your show. Hello, Madrid.
Hello, Madrid.
Yeah.
Do you find the audiences more receptive or different than American audiences? What's it like over there?
Not necessarily more receptive. I mean, but you know, definitely pretty crazed and fun,
as it should be.
Yeah.
Do you get off the plane and get mobbed? I mean, are you guys household? Not a household word there.
Oh no, not at all. But you know, we'll draw like maybe 250 or something to a club, and you know, enough to really have a lot of fun.
Nice. So
basically, you know.
I would imagine you feed off that, and, you know, it's got to be worth your while to do it. You got to have people come out every night, so.
Yeah. Made a lot of friends over there, too, and it's always, you know, it just kind of feels like a party going back over there, and, you know, you see people, you get to see them once every couple of years, but, you know.
That is so nice. And then Italy, too, coming up, huh?
Yeah, yeah. We've made some friends over there. Like the guys from Radio Days, this band over there. Have you heard them?
The name sounds familiar.
I'll give you some of their stuff. It's really good pop stuff. And those guys were just so nice to us. One night we were playing, where was it? Villa Dosola? Is that what it was called? Somewhere up, it was near the Alps. It was in this place that was way too beautiful to be a nightclub.
Wow.
I mean, literally, you walked out of the nightclub and you looked up and there's the Alps with snow on them.
Oh my God.
You know, and kind of in the middle of like the woods or something. But anyway, we were playing and the guy had said, oh, we've got a great amp for you. It's a Vox and the best tech in Italy went over it and it's going to be great. So of course it blew up like two songs in or whatever. These guys from Radio Days, they jump up on stage and they grab our amps and move them aside and put theirs up for us while we just sort of, could do an a cappella song or something.
Wow.
It was so nice of them. And then, anyway, we just, started talking to them a bunch. And we just finished doing an EP with them.
Oh, cool.
Where they did one of our songs, we did one of their songs, and then we did one of our songs, and they did one of their songs. So it's, four song.
Wow. That would be fun to listen to. That'd be really interesting.
I'll get you one if we ever get them.
Okay.
We haven't seen them yet.
Like to hear that. And now, Inquiring Minds wants to know, have you guys ever played Iceland?
No. But Inquiring Band would like to go. Can you hook us up?
I'll try my best.
Okay.
Our friend
Thorin is from, she's from Iceland.
Yep, and she is a big part of the Sacramento Icelandic community.
Right.
She might be it.
Which has nothing to do with the building that used to say. Yeah. There used to be the building Iceland.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Right. Nothing to do with that, right? You said, my peeps.
Over on Del Paso.
Yeah.
Funny stuff. Yes, so you've got some countries to go see. What else is coming up in the U.S.? Do you have anything beyond the June 14th San Francisco
game? Actually going to the East Coast in August, but we're playing a private event opening for Tommy James, which nice. I don't know if I'm even supposed to be talking about that, but I guess it's okay. But we're trying to get a gig in New York at the same time. Ah. So really hoping that'll happen because it's been... I don't even know how long, 20 years or something since we played there in New York. I mean, we played New Jersey. I don't know what year that was. It's all kind of turns into a blur. But
yeah, you definitely need to go back there. I mean, that would be fun. But Tommy James and the Shondells, I'm sorry. I know we're not supposed to talk about it, but, I'm kind of starstruck right now.
I am too. I just finished reading his book, and it's incredible.
Oh, wow.
Was it the Music, The Mob, and Me? I think was the name of it.
Wow.
And it's about his, whole career with Roulette Records and Mo Levy and a lot of really interesting stories. The other thing very strange is it was like he was Hubert Humphrey's house band. Kind of while Hubert Humphrey was running for president, he would open for, it's like
who knew?
Not me. Not till I read that book.
Interesting. Okay. So there's a bit of American history they don't teach in school. You have to learn it on the streets like we are right now.
Yeah. Well, that's real radio with real people.
That's
what that's all about.
That's how you know. Hey, why don't we take a break and listen to another Rubinus song? I'm going to do the old two-handed DJ shuffle. How about something off of Automatic Toasters? This would be kind of cool.
Sure, man.
You had some help from Robbie Wrist.
Robbie Wrist, yeah.
How was that? That sounds like it'd be fun.
The first time I met Robbie Wrist was, I think we were doing the International Pop Overthrow show in L.A., and I think Robbie was in like 17 bands over a period of a week.
This guy is
manic, man. I don't know how anybody can do that. He's got some energy.
Wow. And he's known for that.
He is.
And, of course, he was Cousin Oliver on the Brady Bunch, and everybody knows him for that. And he doesn't mind people bringing it up, which is cool. I mean, you got to start.
That's not necessarily his best work, though, even.
No.
I mean, that was good. No, not putting that down. But
no.
But he's a really good drummer and, plays with, I don't know how many bands right now. But
yeah, he was.
He's a great producer and, just great guy. And
if you haven't had him in your band, you're just nobody. You got to get him in your band. That's what I hear.
I guess. Is that,
So what's a good song? I like two guitars, bass, and drums. I like Max Schau.
Sure, that's any of the above.
Okay, let's start with two guitars, bass, and drums. Here's the Ruben News on Swirl Radio. The Rubinews with Robbie Wrist on drums on that one. Tommy Dunbar is one of the two guitars that helped out the bass and drums. Great song there. And you know, that and another song that's representative of what you guys sound like. That's very Rubinews.
No. Oh, yeah.
I say that one's very power pop too, because I'm just bopping. Mm-hmm. We're just that you cannot sit still to that one.
That's kind of about the Long Branch, which used to be a club in Berkeley.
Ah.
Where all the bands, like my brother's band would play there, and also it name checks the Rockets, which was another band that we used to play with, and kind of our old stomping ground. I mean, that was back in like 1973 or something.
Jeez.
That club, yeah.
Well, it's amazing when you start at the age of five, then you can do that sort of thing.
Yeah. You know, we got a late start compared to that, man. I think we waited until we were 12. But
oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah. You were like in junior high school when you started. Yeah. Amazing. So turning to your other massive talents, you do a podcast, which we talked about recently.
Yes, I remember. I think we had you in the basement.
Yes.
Doing.
Let's talk about that.
That's coming out soon. With my friend Jack Gallagher, we do a song. It's a show called Five Songs. And we just ask guests to bring in, I mean, I'm telling you this, I think you know this, but we ask guests to bring in five songs that have meant something to them. You know, not necessarily this is the greatest song ever written, but it'll be like, I mean, for instance, like an example I use is every time I hear Love is Blue,
yeah,
you know, I'm right back at the fifth grade party where like I'm too scared to ask the girls to dance.
Oh, wow.
Know? Is just instantly back there. So that kind of stuff is sort of what we're looking for, you know.
Gotcha. And the website for that, where people can actually hear some of the podcast?
It's just fivesongs.com.
The number five, I believe.
Number five.
And that was fun. And, you know, when you had me on, first of all, it's a huge honor and a lot of fun because I'm not used to doing that much talking. But the thing that was interesting, and I bet you everybody goes through this, is, okay, I gotta pick the five really important songs. I got to get my Beatles, Stones, you know, all that. And then I had to rethink.
Yeah, you
about
don't want to leave anything out.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like, these are the songs I'm supposed to like. And, of course, I do like them. But then I started rethinking. It's like, no, you said what's important to you, what gears.
Right.
What triggers memories. So my list, I'm not sharing it right now, but my list changed dramatically when I thought, okay, what generates interesting stories and memories?
Right. What are like signposts, you know, in your life that are, yeah.
Yeah.
Like Jack says, he can, when he hears Groovin' by the Rascals, he can just smell the grass back in Massachusetts, you know. Or,
wow. Yeah, and, you know, that's a perfect summertime song. I get that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So what prompted you to start doing podcasts? I mean, you are now a broadcaster like I am.
Totally Jack's idea. And he said, would you like to try doing this, figure out how to do it? And so we did.
Nice.
Yeah.
And
it's been really fun.
And you have this really cool basement studio. I was salivating over the gear, not onto the gear, because you need to reuse it. But
please, feel free.
but nice, you know, so you get a lot of stuff done there.
Yeah, that's where I go to work every day.
That's, you know, fantastic. And you do other music-related work. I mean, sometimes stuff that we don't necessarily see in the form of a record.
Yeah, I mean, anything from, you know, radio jingles to helping songwriters, you know, add whatever they need. Or
nice.
Or if they want to come in and record, or, you know, they
That's
need
perfect.
Guitars on their thing. Or yeah.
That's perfect.
Whatever comes through.
Wow.
Another interesting thing I just thought I would mention is Don Spent, our drummer
from
the Ruby News, and I are doing it's an all Beatles show in Sacramento with the Gay Men's Chorus, I think, not choir, yeah, Sacramento Gay Men's Chorus, and that's going to be on Friday, June 6th at the Crest Theater.
Oh, that's right around the corner.
Yeah, it's an all Beatles show, and so we're playing in the band.
Nice.
Which is really fun because you go through some of these tunes that, like, you thought you knew Lucy and the Sky with Diamonds, you know, and then you go to learn it and it's like, oh, I didn't realize it was changing keys there into, you know.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's just all this, you know, it's really fun to go over that long list of Beatles tunes because they're just, you know.
So how big is the band and then how many voices are there? That's going to be a big production.
We haven't rehearsed yet with the vocalists. We've had one rehearsal as the rhythm section, and actually the bass player couldn't make it to that one. So on Monday we're going to rehearse, and it's not a big band. It'll be keyboard, guitar, bass, drums, and I think a woodwind, and then a million voices.
Wow.
So
that's going to be quite the way to hear the Beatles. That's going to sound amazing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Wow.
It's fun.
How cool is that? That's pretty neat. So you've got that gig, then the Ruben News gig coming up. You do this thing every year with Jack Gallagher, and he's another local celebrity. You do a show, I think you did it at the 24th Street Theater earlier. So what's
it's called The Joke's on Me, and that's he's as the lead singer.
Yeah. It's cool. So what's that all about? He's a comic as well, right?
Yeah. Anna also writes one-man plays that he does here at the B Street Theater.
Wow.
So I guess you would say, yeah, he's a playwright and comedian. What were you?
Oh, just what's just the, sort what of were we talking about? What's the show all about?
Oh, the one where he's the lead singer. Well, he said he just, you know, he's always loved the Red Sox, and he wanted to be a pitcher, and he kind of realized, okay, that's never going to happen, and he always wanted to be a lead singer. But he said, well, that maybe we can make happen. So
I like it. I like it.
So we do, you know.
Well, you know, that's probably
and he's actually pretty good. I mean, that's he's great on stage. I mean, he's amazing with an audience. So it's
fantastic.
It makes the show really fun. And also, he brings great tunes that he's just always wanted to do. You know, a lot of them I've never heard.
Nice.
That are, yeah, so that's been fun.
And I think you had one earlier in the year. Is there another one coming up sometime?
Yeah. Well, also, we're playing Harlow's, I think, in September.
Oh, okay.
So that's going to be, I forget what the date is on that, but
nice.
That's a club here in Sacramento for, you know, Sparky. Where's Sparky now? In Philly?
In North Carolina.
North Carolina, but, you know.
Trying to get him out here, though.
If you head out now. If you're biking, if you head out now.
You could make it by September. That'd be cool. We've been trying to get him to visit us on the West Coast, and this might be the ticket.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I'm here with Tommy Dunbar of the Ruben News. I cannot believe how fast this hour has gone. We've got just a few minutes left. So I guess we'll do just a barrage of quick, short questions here. You know, what do they say, like short, sharp, shock, stuff like that? I can't even say it once. I'm slow. How do we find out more about the Ruben News? Where do we go on the internet to buy your music, listen to your music?
There's always that RubenNews.com, although it's never updated. We really got to work on that. And, you know, the Facebook page, I guess, that's probably the most current.
Okay. And the other question that my listeners have come to expect, what's your favorite food?
Ooh, some kind of tofu, Mapo tofu. Probably because I've been a vegetarian for about 15 years.
Okay. What's Mapo tofu?
It's spicy tofu that's made with like bean paste and garlic. And it's just really good. I remember it was John and our old bass player, Greg Karenin, were taking martial arts at the Wen Wu School of Martial Arts in Berkeley. And their Shirfu, who's the guy who was teaching them, you know, Tai Chi, turned them on to this stuff. And I remember just being 13 and eating that and going, this is the best thing I've ever had.
Oh, wow.
And I think he tried to turn them on to some drink called Mao Tai also, which was like, I don't know, you know, 8,000 proof or something.
Sounds like Mai Tai.
Yeah, but only stronger.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. Anything good vegetarian.
That sounds good.
I'm there.
Wow. Have you eaten at Andy Nguyen's downtown?
Yeah.
Oh, yum.
Nice.
Yeah. It's my own darn fault for asking a question this close to dinner time. I'm getting hungry now, too. So.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. Oh, man. So we've got.
I understand you have a snack machine here.
We have a snack machine because you're going to be with us for 2 weeks.
Yeah, because at least 2 weeks. I'm going to.
And a lot of stuff in there is vegetarian. We've got, let's see, Doritos and
peanut M&Ms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'll wait. Maybe can we call out?
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah.
All right.
Tommy Dunbar, thank you so much for hanging out with me on Squirrel Radio.
Thank you.
It's been an absolute blast. And I'm going to reach over here one more time. I'm thinking we should try one more thing off of automatic toaster. So speaking of food, you know, toasters. Why don't we do? Oh, do you want to suggest one here?
No, you go ahead.
Okay, why don't we do Cave Girls?
Okay.
Do I have the right disc in here though? I'm not not so sure. Maybe it's. Yeah, there we go.
We like to play Wild and Loose.
You know? Yeah, Wild and Loose. So here's the Ruben News and Cave Girls. Tommy, thank you so much.
Oh man, thank you.
To the the age of stone, where the saber-toothed tiger and mastodon roam. Turn on the Wayback Machine, time to make the Pleistocene.
Cave girls want hot.
Think you wanna get down to bedrock?
Cave girls want hot.
Every little lady was a stone fox.
Stone, don't, don't, don't.
Climbing on the bearskin rug, rolling around in the slime and mud, tooth and nail and scratch and claw, tell you what made the ice age thaw.
Cave girls were hot.
If you wanna turn back the clock,
cave girls were hot.
Every little lady was a stone fox. When 1,000 years BC is right where I wanna be, I'm on a quest for five. Cave girls gone wild.
Cave girls gone wild.
Hi, I'm Tommy.
Free Speech Radio 100% is alive and well in Sacramento. On The Voice. The Voice of Sacramento.